Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, when Ben & Jerry's ice cream was bought by Unilever, part of the deal was that the company would be allowed to continue trading with what the founders regarded as their social conscience. But now Jerry has left, claiming that that relationship is now finished. For instance, the ice cream is for sale in settlements on the West Bank, despite the founders' express wish that it not be. What did they expect? This is evil capitalism, after all. Yet such tiffs happen all the time. Conor Pope from the Irish Times knows about a few of them. Afternoon, Conor.
Afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm wondering what the story is with Ben. Why has Ben stayed there?
Well, Ben did post Jerry's resignation letter on his social media accounts. So you'd imagine that he is also on board with it. And you have to say, I've just been doing a little bit of reading about the history of Ben and Jerry's, and they're a phenomenal company. Like, ever since they opened up in Vermont, I think, in like more than 50 years ago, or nearly 50 years ago, they've just been a really progressive company. They have fought against, they fought the good fight against numerous different evils in the world. And you'd be very sad to see the company and the people who founded the company forced to do something like this.
Yeah.
Because I think it is very sad.
Yeah, because it sounds like this relationship has been breaking down for a few years. It wasn't just all of a sudden.
Yeah, but I don't know about the ins and outs of the corporate machinations or all the rest of it, but they did sell up to Unilever in 2000. So they sold up 25 years ago. So I think when you take the money from the big multinationals, these kinds of battles, these kinds of crises, these kinds of disagreements are inevitable. And, you know, as you said at the outset, there's just like the world is littered with stories of people who have fallen out over business. You know, they're like, there's a long, 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 long list of them.
Yeah. Now, and a lot of people might think that Aldi and Lidl were from the were kind of cousins originally, but it's not Aldi and Lidl, it's Aldi and Aldi. There were two Aldis.
That's exactly right. Now, a huge number of people, it's a great urban myth that Aldi and Lidl are owned by the same family and they fell out and one became Lidl and one became Aldi. Not true at all. But there is a grain of truth in the essence of the story, because in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, there was a company called Aldi. It was founded by a woman called Anna Albrecht. Now, she had two sons called Carl and Theo, and they took over Aldi and they grew the company in post-World War II Germany. But then they split in the 1960s, and they split in a very acrimonious way, and they fell out over cigarettes, would you believe? Because one of the brothers wanted to sell cigarettes in the shops. Theo wanted to sell cigarettes in the shops and Carl didn't. So they fell out, but they fell out in the most German of ways. They were incredibly civil. So what they said was, right, we're not going to like tear the company apart, but we're going to split it up into Aldi North and Aldi South. Now, Aldi North, understandably, as you can tell from the name, took all of Europe, kind of north of France, including Ireland and the UK, and Aldi South took the rest of Europe. So there are two Aldis. One is Aldi Sud, one is Aldi Nord. One controls the north of Europe, one controls south of Europe. But then, of course, Aldi grew and grew and grew and grew and grew, and it became a global company. So the whole north-south divide didn't really work anymore. But then when they went into America, they decided, you know what, America is actually big enough for both of us. We don't need to give one of the Aldis America. So they agreed that Aldi South would become Aldi in the United States, and Aldi Nord bought Trader Joe's, the super cool hipster retailer in the United States. So that's how they did business there. But that's just one. I mean, my favorite one actually is of two brothers who fell out and set up two different companies. And they were Rudolf and Adolf Dassler. They were born, I think, I'm going to pretend I knew this before, like 20 minutes ago. I didn't. They were born in 1898 and 1900. They set up a shoe company in post-World War I Germany. And it was called the Dassler Brothers Shoe Factory. And it did well. Now, I have to say, it did well in very, very dubious circumstances. And it was very closely linked to the rise of the Nazi Party. And both brothers were members of the Nazi Party. But then in the post-war, scenario, they fell out. And they fell out in 1948. And the reasons behind the breakup were multiple. But ultimately, it came down to Rudolf Dassler's suspicions that Adolf Dassler was behind his brief capture by the Allies in the Second World War. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that makes Succession look like a fight between Dinny and Miley over a cow. So Rudolph was suspicious that Adolf had dobbed him into the Allies during the war. And then apparently their wives didn't get along well. So Adolf went off and he set up his own shoe company, and he called that Adidas. And Rudolf went off to found a company called Ruda, which he subsequently changed to Puma. And apparently they didn't make up ever. And they were bitter, bitter enemies right through death, which is kind of unfortunate because they're both buried in the same cemetery now. But they're both buried at opposite ends of the same cemetery. So they don't have to meet each other even in death.
Ah, so you take a bit of a walk to go from one to the other wearing the appropriate
footwear. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And then there was, of course, you might remember, back when the dot-com bubble was inflating in the 1990s, everything was all about America Online, AOL. And AOL was the new darling of the tech industry, and everyone loved AOL. And it was basically just an email provider, with a bit of a search engine attached to it. Like, it wasn't very swanky or anything. It wasn't like Google or Facebook. Like, it didn't delve deep into our souls and tell us exactly what we were thinking. But they grew so big that AOL eventually merged with Time Warner, which was a massive media company. And everyone thought, that's the end of mainstream media, the end of traditional media. The tech companies are going to take over everything. But then, of course, the dot-com bubble burst in just after the Y2K, or the early part of this century. AOL starts to fall apart. Then things start, the relationship between Steve Case and Gerald Levin, who were the brains behind the merger, they fell apart, and then there was a huge split. And then ultimately, Time Warner got rid of AOL. And I can't remember the last time anybody anywhere has ever said the word AOL, but they had a very bitter, bitter, bitter falling out.
Yeah. And 20th Century Films and Fox. Now, it's kind of complicated, but it seems to be...
It's very, very complicated, because there was 20th Century Fox, and then there was Fox Paramount, and then there was Fox Films, and then there was 20th Century. And ultimately, they fell out. But then there was this weird relationship with Fox News, which was obviously owned by Rupert Murdoch. So the companies ended up basically retiring the name Fox entirely, because they didn't want to be confused with Rupert Murdoch's Fox News. And this was even before Fox News became the lovely, cuddly news source that it has become in more recent times. I think one of the interesting things about that is, like, when I was growing up, 20th Century Fox was a big deal. Every movie, or like half the movies you went to, you'd see the logo, they had the little searchlights, and I was like, it was a really dramatic thing. And now it's just entirely gone. And it's gone because the people in the boardrooms in big buildings in the United States just fell out over naming rights. They fell out over money. And as I say, it just tears them all apart.
Yeah, that's what always happens. Just come back to Aldi then. If you go on your holidays, can you tell the difference between an Aldi North and an Aldi South if you're in Europe anywhere?
The big hint, right, Sean, is if you're in the South, it's probably Aldi Süd. And if you're in the North, it's probably Aldi Nord. But do you know what? That's a really good question, because, like, this might surprise some of your listeners, but I quite like going into supermarkets in overseas countries to look at the prices and to see what kind of stuff they sell. And it's like kind of like being in another country, Sean. So you go into the likes of Aldi in Spain, and you just see the kind of stuff that they're selling in the middle aisles. And I have never once noticed a distinction between what the Aldi in Spain or Portugal or Italy is selling me compared to what the Aldi in Ireland or the UK is selling me. So they must have a really strong relationship in terms of how they do business, in terms of the stock and stuff, because the products are pretty identical, but maybe they just have this bitter relationship. I'm going to have to go and find that out now. And you've given me more homework, and I thought my homework was done for the day.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'm so sorry. Connor, thanks a million as ever. That was Connor Pope there, consumer affairs correspondent for the Irish Times.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.